Tonight on Life on the Rock, we have Father Glenn Sedano, part two. He'll give a reflection and much more.
Tonight on Life on the Rock, we have Father Glenn Sedano, Franciscan Friar of the Renewal, who's the director of the Holy Family Farm, which is a place for human formation and discernment for young men who are discerning marriage or family life or the priesthood. And a lot of times in this world today, we face a lot of distractions and challenges, but Father Sedano, he's going to help guide us, especially young men, to their calling.
Yes, and this is a second part of a two-parter we're doing with Father Glenn. Got a lot to say, a lot of great insights on human formation. So we're now going to a reflection with Father Glenn.
I'm sure all of our listeners and viewers of EWTN are well aware of the Eucharistic revival that is being encouraged by the bishops of the United States. And each one of us can participate. Many of us, of course, cannot be participating in a pilgrimage and walking with the Blessed Sacrament or perhaps even going to the Eucharistic Congress ourselves. But each and every day we can do our part to bring that renewal and the revival to the church. So maybe spending some time each day before the Blessed Sacrament, a little bit extra time before the Blessed Sacrament, and also encouraging other people to participate in Eucharistic adoration. Many, many people in the church are not aware of the great treasure that we have waiting for us in our church, in the tabernacle, and in our Eucharistic Perpetual Adoration Chapel. So encourage other people to and let them know what it's all about and have them spend time before the Blessed Sacrament, taking that time each and every day to pray. So let us pray that the Eucharist not only will become understood and appreciated, but actually lived out in our lives, that we will become Eucharist, that we will give our body, that we will give our blood for the salvation of others.
Well, Father Glenn, welcome to Life on the Rock.
Thank you, brother.
We've been talking about the Holy Family Farm, about a discernment, a place for discernment, for men, young men out in the world to discern maybe religious life, marriage, the priesthood, and our world's full of distractions. So it's something that's well needed in our world today. But I wanted to talk to you about, to kind of continue our discussion, about maybe the danger of living alone in the world today as a Christian.
Well, as the scripture says, man was not meant to be alone. Now, obviously, that's referring necessarily to, if you will, to man and woman in marriage, from Genesis, that quote, of course. But yeah, I think there's a lot of isolation today. And once again, people are able to deal with the isolation if they have a device. And so they keep themselves entertained. And once again, playing video games and watching YouTubes and this and that, YouTube videos. What happens is that you could end up in a sort of in a corner. You could go down the drain, you know, just by being by yourself. And we all know that that's not healthy. You know, a little entertainment is fine, but we never really had a society in which people are spending all their time being entertained or playing games. When I was young, adults really didn't play games. They might have played Pinochle or something. They might have, but in terms of adults playing games, so sometimes here, and you hear, this is a problem with marriages, you have a woman complaining that the husband, who's in his 40s, is spending time playing video games.
Right.
Who plays video games when you're 40 years old? Right now, a lot of people. So this is the isolation. But once they get out of that, and this is when they, let's say they come to even to visit the farm, they just absorb just the playfulness and the joy and the conversation and I think they almost forget that they don't have to be looking at the phone.
And I think too, there's just certain home values that are lost today. And I think a lot of that reflects maybe the family situation that people are brought up with, but just spending time together. You know, now you just go into your room, you're on a phone, you're on a computer, and you might not see anybody for hours. You know?
The table also. Now, with the friars, the table is a very strong symbol in the friary, and it's almost symbolic of the altar, you know, it's gathering around. So the table is a place where people gather, but there are some homes that they're building homes without dining rooms now.
Yeah.
You know, it's a bedroom and the bathroom.
Right.
But in terms of places where people gather to eat, people are somewhat eating on the run.
Yeah.
They say that a family that prays together stays together. Yeah. I say the family that eats together also stays together.
Yeah, that's true.
Right.
Very much so. What about just the role of friendship at the Holy Family Farm? Maybe even that aspect of brotherhood. Maybe having to just that fraternal charity.
Well, I think our Catholic faith is the thing that really brings. It's the kindred spirit, and I see this over and over again. We have people that stop by, and they don't know anyone.
Yeah.
You just meet them, but it's our Catholic faith. It's the faith, and that you're speaking the same language. You have the same values. Now everyone is different. But I believe it's you can have a different personality and different a team that you like or a different whatever it might be, but the faith is so foundational. So when you have the same faith, you're in this. You're speaking the same language and you feel comfortable with one another.
Yeah.
Is because that which is most important to me is most important to you.
And I think that's something. I think you just said it, but there's been such a shift in values. Mm-hmm. In the world today, you know, and how that gets even projected into religion and everything, or just how we even think and relate to others. So I think it's interesting just the problems or just the way people think in general nowadays, maybe compared to 50, 60, 70 years ago, it's so different. And I think just some of the problems that we see today, it's like prayer. Mm-hmm. People don't even think about prayer, but they'll gravitate to something like yoga. Mm-hmm. But in one sense, we are spiritual beings and we're called to exercise, you know, spiritual duties that are ordered to God. But our culture today is just so blocked out God and religion and all things many times that are just wholly indecent.
I think that the experience of the farm is, in some sense, I want to say this in a good way. It's like going back a few generations, and not many generations, really. Just once again, just eating together. Who does that? Who doesn't spend all time sitting around the television? We don't have a television, right? So what did people do years ago? What did people do when they had a family farm? You know, they worked together, and they entertained one another, and this that. Simple joys, and it seems that people are very, very attracted to it, and they find it refreshing. And actually, it's bringing people back to good health.
Yeah. And I think, too, especially with young men, just that battle for purity of just ordering our hearts to God in just the most pure way. Because today we are so bombarded in our entertainment and our fashion and just what's normal. A lot of people just have this whatever attitude. But it's so self-destructive, and a lot of times we're brought up into that, and some people just, it's hard to discern maybe the right from the wrong in terms of just that navigation. But even having that sense of, or reclaiming purity and that battle to, I think, reclaim and dedicate our lives to God is where I think a lot of times we do need to spend a lot of maybe formation towards.
Quite frankly, a number of the men that either are there or that have been there or that are interested in coming, all of them admit they need some space from the internet and from because it's diminishing their peace, diminishing their purity, and they recognize, you know what, I have to distance myself from this. And while they are allowed to have a phone, and we use the internet, you know, correctly, you know, looking for various things for the farm and this and that, but we keep a guard on it and we keep an eye on it. Hopefully that the person, after spending the 6 months or spending the year there, they'll be less dependent on it. Yeah. So you know what? I don't feel I need to be scrolling hours on end. I don't need to do this.
Yeah.
I don't have time for this.
Yeah.
I have to live life.
And I think there's a big lie today that says I have to have this or that in order to be happy.
Yeah.
But in reality, a lot of times when you do disconnect yourself from social media or whatever, a lot of times you realize I'm way more happier without.
You guys. Well, this is like all Franciscan poverty. Mm-hmm. You know, that less we have more of a space and a capacity for us for other things. You know, so yeah. The Holy Family Farm is not purely a CFR apostolate. It certainly has a stamp on it because of me being there, but also St. Francis is one of our patrons. Mm-hmm. So the idea of living simply is very much a part of living there.
Yeah. Well, we have to go to a break, but whenever we come back, let's get into some more of the discernment issues at Young Men Faith.
Beautiful.
Well, Father Glenn, one of the things I also want to talk about with the discernment is for young men discerning marriage, because a lot of the values or ideas of marriage have really kind of shifted. Mm-hmm. But and maybe in the Catholic sense, what is marriage ordered towards?
I think that today people are thinking of marriage as a friend. I want a friend, mm-hmm. a lifelong friend. And it's much more than that. The idea of family has diminished.
Yeah.
So people today, they want to get, if they're getting married,
yeah.
if they're getting
That's
married,
the other thing, yeah.
right? If they're getting married, they're getting married to this individual. Why? Because we like one another and we enjoy one another's company. And so, but marriage is ordered towards family mm-hmm. and towards fruitfulness.
Right.
And unfortunately today you see people that they might have pets, they have a few dogs,
yeah.
but they don't have children, because children is going to sort of cramp their style.
Yeah.
At least if you go skiing in Denver, you could put the dogs in a kennel for the weekend or
yeah.
for the week, you know. But not to say that people that don't have children are doing that for their selfish purposes. Once again, every person is different, but there's a general trend that of the idea in the past was I was going to get married, raise a family, and, you know, build a future. That does not appear, yeah. at least, to be on the minds of many people yeah. today.
And kind of the way I always see it, but it's like people are just wanting to play house.
Yes, uh-huh, yes.
And then it just doesn't work.
Yeah.
And then things just kind of go from one dysfunction to another.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I think just having that sense of sacrifice, especially as men,
mm-hmm.
That sense of duty mm-hmm. of, you know, what does it mean to be a father mm-hmm. and a husband? That's a great responsibility mm-hmm. that, you know, in one sense is just kind of imposed.
Mm-hmm.
But I think there's great rewards when you do live that Catholic faith and those values. You do reap what you sow. Mm-hmm. And I think there's a tremendous happiness mm-hmm. and peace that comes with that.
Yeah, we were created, we were hardwired to sacrifice ourselves, you know, and mothers, if you will, sacrifice themselves in their particular way, but fathers should be sacrificial in their own way. And when that is diminished, this is a problem. And the same thing can happen with the priesthood. You could have a father, if you will, and in some sense, he's contracepting, because he doesn't want spiritual children, but he sort of likes the idea of being a father.
Mm-hmm.
You know, hopefully there's not many, but it is something that for us to think about. Am I here really for myself, for what I'm getting out of it, even if it's a spiritual self-satisfaction? You know, I'm enjoying this, I like this, this is satisfying to myself. Well, to a certain extent, that has to be true. But that cannot be our core motivation.
Yeah.
Our core motivation is to give ourselves, and as God gives. The Father gives the Son, the Son to the Spirit, and the Spirit to the Church. And so everything else should be, the movement is outward. It's
yeah.
not inward. It appears, once again, that there's a movement today of self-satisfaction, self-protection, what's in it for me, and I want to be happy. And that's not healthy.
Yeah, and I think too, one of the maybe benefits for society, even with just large families, is just the communication skills mm-hmm. and the social skills.
Mm-hmm.
Because in one sense, when you are born into a large family, you're kind of forced to develop
all that.
And which I think is a good thing, because mm-hmm. today you see a lot of problems. People don't know how to communicate because a lot of times it's just on a text. And they're just from here to another room.
Right.
You know, or just social. A lot of times you'll meet a young person or something, they won't even look you in the eyes.
Exactly.
And it's just, here I am, you don't exist. And there's such a disconnect.
One person said to me just last week, he said, the guys at the farm, he said, they come up to me, firm handshake, look in the eye, introduce themselves. That's what we want.
Yeah.
That's what we want.
When you've been clearing land,
you got it.
And I just certain things like that, you really kind of pick up on the culture, did it? And I don't think it's just even maybe religious voices noticing it, mm-hmm. but I think there's even secular voices that are kind of noticing just in one sense, just a breakdown in society of just fundamental, just mm-hmm. maybe common politeness or courtesy. Mm-hmm. That is, I think, essential to maybe a growth of just a civilization and culture. Mm-hmm. Just the manners.
It's being human. Mm-hmm. And things are kind of devolve into a sort of an animalistic, because animals are in their own world.
Right.
And they're simply just they simply just want to take care of their bodily needs.
Yeah.
And so human beings can actually devolve into sort of an animalistic state.
Yeah, and that's very true. And because I think a lot of things are just, it's origins to a selfishness, mm-hmm. not just a narcissism. Mm-hmm. But I think in that Christian life, you know, you're really called to break out of that mm-hmm. and to serve the needs of others and the community. And sometimes we don't realize the fruitfulness or the happiness mm-hmm. of that until we kind of throw ourselves into that mm-hmm. environment.
It takes practice, because if you're not used to, let's say, being hospitable, not used to actually spending time listening to another person or going out of your way or not complaining, you know, for some people they've been raised this way, mm-hmm. it's smooth as silk. Other people it's a bumpy burlap, you know, road.
Yeah.
And but they learn, and after a while they learn how to, once again, how to communicate, how to serve. And how to once again not complain and actually be grateful for even being inconvenienced or not having things that you want at the time.
Yeah, and I think too, you know, the fact that you put up the crucifix, you just kind of said it, but mm-hmm. learning how to serve mm-hmm. can be a very challenging thing mm-hmm. because a lot of times, you know, there is that act of charity, not like a generosity, but kind of above and beyond mm-hmm. where you really feel kind of that death to self mm-hmm. for the greater good. And mm-hmm. I think that's something that we've kind of lost, is just that common good mm-hmm. in our culture and society today.
Yeah, one of the phrases that we have at the farm, maybe coming from me from the pulpit, is suffer well.
Yeah.
Suffer well. And we don't have to suffer. Suffer yeah. well. Once again, suffer without complaining, suffer without anxiety, suffer with a smile sometimes. Yeah. Suffer well.
And I think, you know, the book of the gospel, but also turning to the lives of the saints. Mm-hmm. And I think that's another thing, too, in our Catholic, I think, upbringing and formation is learning about mm-hmm. the lives of the saints. Mm-hmm. I think that's so important, because I know just kind of in my own experience, other than Mary and Joseph, mm-hmm. Nobody really existed. Mm-hmm. And but just to read those lives, especially of the young, mm-hmm. and I think that's so important today, because, you know, these were real people mm-hmm. that dealt with real problems, mm-hmm. but overcame it through God's grace.
Yeah, it's one of the things that you do see in the lives of the saints. They suffered, but by God's grace, they suffered well.
Yeah, and it's in one sense, you just see the divine act mm-hmm. or the divine hand and all mm-hmm. that. But Father Glenn, we've mm-hmm. run out of time, mm-hmm. but thank you for being on Life on the Rock.
Thank you. Thank you, brother. Thank you so much.
Well, Father Mark, it's been a real joy to interview Father Glenn and the insight he's really brought to the table. And I think one of the things that actually struck me while we were talking was just his insight. It was very simple, but just to suffer well. That's mm-hmm. not a popular message today, even maybe in the church to some extent, but just in that one sense, just kind of embracing a lot of just the hardships or difficulties that come with life. And we can never actually do that without the cross or without God's grace. But I think that's something to reclaim in our life. And sometimes we have to take a step back and to realize what we're kind of dealing with or what others are dealing with, you know, and really to put things into perspective and really into that fuller context of, you know, our relationship with God.
Yeah. And I think that part of formation and into filling any vocation to persevere in the Christian life, everyone's going to have sufferings, as he said, but to have that critical virtue of perseverance. Mm-hmm. And I think as Christians, we know this suffering has meaning, it has value. You know, Jesus has filled it with his presence in a mysterious way. We draw closer to the Lord in our crosses. So as Christians, we have strength of faith to help us, you know, and that perseverance, it just seems, it's like where all the virtues are learned, where all they're practiced. And, you know, we all know it's easier said than done. And so we talk about it, and I preach about it with fear and trembling, because you see the sufferings that people go through, and just sometimes are so difficult.
And there was something that Father Glenn shared with me that I thought was actually something to reflect on. It's like, if God gave us just the knowledge to know of what all things that were just going on within a mile of us, we'd either be barfing or throwing up or calling 911. Our lives would be kind of hectic. And there's a lot of truth to that, that God doesn't reveal everything immediately to us.
Right.
But there is that, in one sense, that reliance of God's providence of, you know, he's the one in control. You know, he's the one that's overseeing everything. And we really, it is that act of faith to really, you know, just surrender our will and say, I give it up to you, Lord.
Yeah, and I think, focusing on the present moment, taking it one day at a time, being united with others. I think, you know, what he's teaching on the farm also is like a communal life, that we need others. So if we're bonded with others, taking it one day at a time, we find God in that present moment, you know, I think we can go through anything. Yeah.
And I think, too, we can always look at a person and say, well, what's wrong with this person? But in the broader context, when you look at, you know, the problems they're dealing with, you know, there is a very humbling aspect to that.
Yeah. Treat everyone you meet as if they're in a great battle.
Yeah.
Because they
kindness.
Are. Right? Well, may our Heavenly Father shine his face upon you. May he give you his peace. May he fill you with his Holy Spirit and give you every good gift and grace. May Almighty God bless you, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. We'll see you next week on Life on the Rock.